have some movies you'd like us to review?
Tell us!
Send us an email at driveinmovieshr@gmail.com.
Or slide into our DMs on Instagram and Twitter at drivemoviespod, or on Facebook at Hogan and Rudy.
Let us know what to watch next.
And now, on with the show.
Howdy, partners. Welcome back to another episode of Driving Movies with Hogan and Rudy. We got ourselves a Western double feature, if you couldn't tell by that intro with my horrible Western accent. This week we are doing The Harder They Fall, a newer movie, against Django Unchained. Also a relatively recent movie. It's older now, which is weird to think about because it feels so recent, but still relatively new in terms of the movies that we have been reviewing. Both are kind of newer films here. So let's get into the details on these, starting with The Harder They Fall. That is from what year?
2021.
2021. I think it came out, what, 2 weeks ago, maybe?
Yeah, November 6th or 8th.
Wow. So maybe only a week ago. Yeah. Brand spanking new, and we got our thoughts here for you. Don't worry. Coming through. That is directed by James Samuel. James with an E. It's either James or Jaimes.
I like Jaimes.
Jaimes.
Let's go with that.
It's pronounced that way. We'll let you be the judge. I don't know. That was also written by James/Jaimes Samuel and Bose Yakin. That stars Jonathan Majors as Nat Love, Zazie Beetz as Mary Fields, RJ Seiler as Jim Beckworth, Eddie Gathegi as Bill Pickett, Regina King as Trudy Smith, Lakeith Stanfield as Cherokee Bill, Idris Elba as Rufus Buck, and Delroy Lindo as Bass Reeves. Pretty powerful cast there. A lot of good names in that cast. That is going up against Django Unchained from what year?
2012.
Yeah. 2021 and 2012.
Oh.
See how?
That's exactly why I picked
these. See how that number works out? Is that how you pick these? You sat down, looked at all the years of these
like
movies?
The Da Vinci Code. Yep.
These are all connected. That is directed and written by Mr. Quentin Tarantino. Is this the first Quentin Tarantino movie we've done?
Yeah, I think so.
I think it is.
We need to do more.
Yeah, he's got a lot of good ones.
I need more.
That stars Jamie Foxx as Django, Christoph Waltz as Dr. King Schultz, Leonardo DiCaprio as Calvin Candy, probably one of the best names in a movie.
Yeah.
Kerry Washington as Brumhilda von Schaft, and Samuel L. Jackson as Steven. Another good cast in that one. So I will turn it over to you to talk about what these movies were about.
I'll talk about The Harder They Fall, which is about a gang of outlaws, but they rob from other outlaws. Mm-hmm. But they accidentally rob from the wrong group of outlaws. And it turns out to be his old enemy that he's trying to track down, who was recently released from prison. So then he sets on a quest with his gang to find his enemy and kill him.
Kill him!
And then you have Django Unchained, which is about a slave that is freed by a German bounty hunter. And then they go on a mission to save the wife of Django at Candyland, which we will get into.
Yes. Candyland. Yeah. That was a very quick, precise, to-the-point explanation, and it covered exactly what these movies are about.
Why, thank you,
sir. Good job. That was impressive. Let's get into the woods of these, starting with the writing. What do you think about the writing in these two movies?
They're long movies. They are
yeah
over 2 hours. Django is almost three.
Yeah, Django's like 2 hours and 50 minutes, maybe? and The Harder They Fall, I think, is 2 hours and 10, maybe? Just a little over... maybe it's like 2 hours and 15 minutes.
Yeah, I think you're right around there. So the writing both of these is pretty similar in their style of their westerns. Mm-hmm. They add some, like, dry humor to them, mm-hmm. but the plot is different in each of those. Yeah. The Django is very Quentin Tarantino plot, mm-hmm. but it's very original.
Yeah.
I like that movie. This is the first time I've ever seen Django.
Oh, Django.
Oh, my gosh.
Just the dialogue in that movie.
Oh, that's the first thing I noticed was this feels so natural. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you write... How do other movies not write like this?
And how... For Quentin Tarantino, I know he watches a lot of movies and reads a lot of books, though. But to write for his characters, you know? Because his characters are... pretty unique characters.
Yes.
So to be able to write so naturally for a various group of characters from different backgrounds, from different ethnicities, different races, and yet it still feels pretty, I guess natural is just the best way to put it. Like, it feels smooth and it feels like, okay, yeah, I could see all these characters behaving the way that they do and talking the way that they do, and in a way that is really entertaining to watch. So it's impressive, any director, not just Quentin Tarantino, whenever you can have such powerful dialogue for a various amount of characters that are all completely different from each other.
And characters is something I'm very excited to talk about. But the whole idea of Django being picked up by...
Dr. King Schultz.
Dr. King Schultz, yes.
His name was King.
Music is something else we'll get to.
I'm just going to sing it all this episode. I hope you guys wonder who I'm going to give my point to.
Dynamic? Well, that's characters, but the whole...
It's hard to talk about the story without talking about the characters.
It is, because they make everything.
Both of these movies, the plot is very character-driven. It's not like a Da Vinci Code, to bring back Da Vinci Code here. It's not really like a Da Vinci Code plot where it's all like... oh, the story and uncovering pieces and parts of the plot and as a mystery unravels and whatnot. It's very much how these characters interact with each other, and they set out a goal, and it's them trying to go and accomplish that goal in both scenarios. Now, the goals themselves are different, but the stories rely heavily on connecting with these characters and seeing how they get to their end point.
Yeah. The writing in Django, excellent.
Yeah.
So The Harder They Fall, this one I do have some beef with, mm-hmm. just because I didn't get a lot from the story.
Yeah.
I didn't really know why they were doing the things they were doing. Django, it was explained. It maybe not even explained, but you understood it perfectly. Mm-hmm. The Harder They Fall, I'm like, why are they doing this? Why are they going here?
Yeah.
So I don't think they did a great job setting up why these characters are motivated.
Mm-hmm.
Some, yes, it's obvious, but others, not so obvious.
Yeah. One thing I'll say about The Harder They Fall is, for a recent Western, like super recent, I thought they did a good job of making a modern Western film that is actually pretty decent, you know? Like, it's
mm-hmm.
it's good in its writing, not as good as some other Westerns that are out there, but not a lot of Westerns are being made nowadays. So to see a recent entry for a Western... and for it to be pretty good, I mean, that's kind of hard to do because Westerns are kind of past their heyday. But one thing that I noticed was, even though The Harder They Fall was a shorter movie, it seemed to drag out longer than Django. Because Django, you have kind of a lot of different sections within that movie that mm-hmm. keep your attention. And just as it starts to drag on... it kind of changes gear and switches it up so that you're constantly moving along the story to a climactic point. Whereas The Harder They Fall, it almost feels like they have like maybe 20 minutes, 30 minutes of setup, and then you're at the climactic part, like at that like 40 minute mark. Or maybe it's a lot more into that. I'm just exaggerating. It may be like you hit that climactic part at like an hour. And then for, like, the next hour and a half, it's just that climactic part that's just keeps going. So it just seemed like there was long shootouts, there was long drawn out scenes, and I don't feel like I got as much depth and as much story out of The Harder They Fall as I did in Django. And that could be because Django's a longer movie, but it didn't feel as long as The Harder They Fall.
Yeah, I totally agree. So Django gets the point.
Yeah, yeah, me too. Characters, you're excited about this one, so let's hear it.
Oh, gosh. I think Dr. King Schultz is one of my favorite characters ever.
I could listen to him talk for the entire 3 hours.
Christoph Waltz? Oh my gosh. Brilliant. And I know he was in Inglourious. It seems like Quentin Tarantino likes to reuse his, which is fine, because he picks good people. But he's also in Inglourious Bastards, playing a German, so that's funny that he's playing German again.
Well, he is a German actor.
Oh, yeah. So
he got his, I think he's like famous for German films, and then he came over and Quentin Tarantino like hired him for some of his movies, and that's where he kind of got his name in Hollywood.
Well, thank you, Quentin, for making him Dr. King Schultz. I can't even describe how his dialogue, how funny it is.
It's funny too, because so he was in Glorious Bastards first as Colonel Hans Landa, who is the most interesting character to watch, because you hate his character. I'm talking about a completely different movie here. I'm going on a side rant. You hate his character because he plays kind of a deplorable person. You know, he plays a Nazi whose job it is to find Jews hiding out in, I think they're in France in Inglourious Bastards.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't like his character, but yet you almost want to keep watching him in every scene. And he ended up getting an Oscar for that role. And then Django came out after Inglourious Bastards. And again, he's in this film, but this time he's a character that you like. He's kind of playing the same character, only the character itself is one that you're like, oh, okay, I can finally root for him because he's not doing terrible things. And then he won an Oscar for Django as well, so...
And he deserves
every movie
it.
That Tarantino has used him in, he's gotten an Oscar for. But yeah, his character is really enjoyable to watch, and it's one of the most liked characters, I think, in a movie for me. Like,
oh yeah, easily.
You like his acting, you like the way that the character talks, you like the character itself, the decisions that he does, and the things that he does in the movie. Like, you're like, man, I like this guy. He's a cool guy.
Yeah.
So, and Christoph Waltz does an amazing job of really bringing that character to life. But there's so many other characters we got to talk about.
There's so many. Jamie Foxx as Django, of course. Mm-hmm. Excellent. I don't think I've seen a lot of movies with Jamie Foxx.
He's pretty good, yeah. Ray's pretty good. I think he got an Oscar for that one. He plays Ray Charles.
Oh, I did not know that. But yeah, he plays a very good lead as Django, for sure. Calvin Candy, Leonardo DiCaprio. Oh my gosh, he's nuts. I didn't even realize Leonardo DiCaprio was in Django. I guess I didn't know too much about this movie. Mm-hmm. And then when he appeared, I was like, oh, that's the owner of Candyland.
And he doesn't show up until like halfway through the movie. Like, it's so wild before he even shows up.
And then once he enters, it gets even more wild.
I think Leonardo DiCaprio should play more bad guys.
He should! Because... I feel like I enjoyed that more.
You're like, oh man.
Yeah. Oh, and then Samuel Jackson. I almost forgot about him.
Samuel Jackson, I feel like, is great in every movie he's in.
So he plays Steven, who is Leonardo DiCaprio's right-hand man. Mm-hmm. He's a slave, but he's like in the house.
Yeah, he's like the...
They have a name. I can't remember what they called him.
Whatever the name is, you probably shouldn't say it anyway, because knowing Tarantino, it's probably not a very good name.
Oh, yeah. Dialogue. Very rough to watch in some parts.
Yeah.
So that was interesting. I didn't expect that, but I should have. Silly me.
Silly Rudy.
There's so many good characters to watch in Django. Harder They Fall. So these are some enjoyable characters as well. I shouldn't have watched Django first, though. Because
let you down when watching it. The Harder They Fall.
It did. They were good. Each had their own personality, but there was no Dr. Schultz in there. Mm-hmm. There was no character I like grasped onto, and I was like, I like him.
Yeah,
I'm gonna watch him in anything he does.
I think the most enjoyable character in that one for me was Cherokee Bill by Lakeith Stanfield.
The way he talked,
yeah,
and
just kind of calm and cool and collected. He's like,
mm-hmm.
He was rumored to be like the fastest gun in the West or whatever, and I felt like anytime he was on screen, I enjoyed seeing that character and seeing the way that he interacted with everyone else. I liked the main character. I liked Nat Love, played by Jonathan Majors. I actually really like him as an actor in everything that I've seen him in. I think he's been pretty good, so I am I'm curious to see more from him as time goes on. But his character, while I liked his performance, his character itself isn't that fleshed out. Like, if you take him as a lead against Jamie Foxx, I feel like Jamie Foxx has a lot more development, and you get connected more with Jamie Foxx's character than you do with Nat Love.
For sure. Mm-hmm.
You have Idris Elba. I don't know how you say that either. I'm bad with names, so I apologize for all these. As, like, the main bad guy, Rufus Buck. He does okay. I like Idris Elba a lot as an actor, but I feel like they almost kind of wasted him in this movie as a bad guy, because he just kind of walks and, like, grunts.
And yeah.
I don't know. I thought he could have been done better. His character could have done better, more interesting. But they all do good. I think they all do good acting. I don't think anyone in it was bad. I think they all did a good job with the characters that they were given. I just don't think that the characters themselves were, like you said, quite as interesting, or there wasn't anyone that you got quite as attached to.
Yeah, nothing. And there was no cringy moments or anything like that. It was all enjoyable to watch.
But Django?
But I'm giving it to Django. Yes.
There we go. What about music?
Oh. Is this even
Django? A competition? Man, that opening. Gosh. I love Quentin Tarantino openings because I was thinking about this, actually, for this episode. So, the opening of Django is Jamie Foxx is chained up with a bunch of other slaves, and it's kind of like this montage of them being transported somewhere else, and you have this song overplaying, which is the Django theme, which is a banging song. Oh, man. Like, that's when you know, well, you don't know, but that's when you can assume the movie's probably going to be good, is in, like, the first 5 minutes, you're like, wow. That was awesome. Like, I'm ready for this movie. So just the transitions, the song overplaying, and then Inglourious Basterds, you have the opening titles, which is just credits, but you have, like, the Green Leaves of Summer song playing over the credits, which is also a banging song, and it gets me pumped for that movie. Jackie Brown, you have Pam Grier walking through a airport with Bobby Womack across 110th Street. I gotta look that up now. I don't remember what the name of the street was. And it's her, literally, it's like her on one of those airport, not really like escalator, but it's, you know, those things.
What you're talking about? Like a people mover?
Yeah, people mover. Is it still called an escalator? You're not going up. You're just going forward. So I don't know.
I think it's people mover.
Is it really called a people mover? Is that what it's called?
I think so.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. People mover. There you go. I like that. It's just her on that pretty much the whole time, but that song's overplaying. Literally nothing's happening, but you're like, I like this song, so I'm ready for this movie. And same with Hateful Eight. Hateful Eight, you have, that one's more of a score, but it's kind of like this eerie, mysterious score as like a horse carriage is coming up through a bunch of snow. And it's just like all of these movies have such a really good musical intro that just kind of gets you ready for the rest of the movie. And Django might be the best of all of those, honestly.
Yeah, that, like you were saying, he's chained up, and then you get Dr. Schultz right away.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Rolling in his dentist cart.
Who's that stumbling around in the dark? State your business or prepare to get winged. It's one of my favorite lines.
And it's right in the beginning.
It's, I think, the very first line of that movie.
It probably is. Music. Oh, easy. All the music in Django.
Yeah. The Harder They Fall is, I can tell by watching that movie, I feel like the director was very heavily influenced by Django.
For sure. A lot of modern twists on Western music.
Yeah, and the soundtrack seems very similar to Django, but some of the song choices didn't seem like they fit quite as well.
I wasn't a fan of the reggae music.
Yeah, that was kind of oddly placed. Some of it was good, and some of it kept the movie going. I mean, it was, like you said, kind of a more modern soundtrack over the Western, which works, but man, I listened to the Django soundtrack outside of the movie because it's that good. And after The Harder They Fall was over, there wasn't any songs that I, like, looked up and I was like, ooh, I need to hear that song again.
For sure. Is that 3 for 3?
3 for 3, Django! Let's talk about...
Ooh, tech. So the tech of Django. Oh my gosh. I was blown away by this whole movie. Mm-hmm. Quentin Tarantino, he's a genius. I don't know why I haven't appreciated him more for all the work that he does.
Have you seen Inglourious Basterds?
Yeah. I don't know why I'm like...
I love that movie.
Django. Yeah. Everything is so smooth and easy to watch. Mm-hmm. Editing, it just flows from next scene to the next. Mm-hmm. 2 hours, 45 minutes flew by. Harder They Fall. This is a big difference for me. It was kind of hard to watch. I don't know if the editing was great or... It was not great for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It just felt very choppy.
Again, I think with the tech, I also kind of noticed it seemed like they were influenced by Django Unchained.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because I noticed a lot of, like, the techniques and shots that they did. I was like, I feel like I've seen this in this other movie that I just recently watched. But I looked up the director, and I think this is his first, like, movie.
Okay.
And I think you can tell that in the tech. I think there's a lot of good ideas that it tries to do. And there's a lot of cool shots. There's one in the train with Cherokee Bill, and he's talking to someone, and I think he's, like, counting down or something like that. And the camera's focused on him, but everyone behind him points their guns. So you're looking at him, but all you see is everyone's, like, guns pointed behind him. And that was pretty cool. And there's a lot of, like, stylistic decisions that I think once this director kind of refines his technique, I think he could be a pretty good director. And I think a lot of his movies will look a lot cleaner and a lot nicer and a lot put together. Better put together, I should say. Because this movie, I didn't have a problem with the tech. I think it flowed. Well, I already said it dragged down a bit. So maybe the editing, the editing could have been worked on a little bit more just to keep it more enticing. But I think the camera work that they did, the cinematography, the set design was pretty good. Some of the costume decision, not the costume specifically, but some of the makeup. The biggest thing that we noticed, because Ellie watched it with me and she actually pointed it out, was his scar was kind of weird.
I didn't notice.
She was like, if he has a scar, it would have, like, healed over. But his scar made it look like it, like, was just made. Like, it was still indented.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's just being nitpicky. I mean, it's not that big of a deal to them. It doesn't affect the movie whatsoever. But just little things like that where I think after he has a couple movies under his belt and some more refinement, I think he could be pretty good. And I'm excited to see other movies that he does. But Tarantino, he already has a couple movies under his belt going into this one. And Django, it's such a good movie. Like, if I were to rank Tarantino's films... If you count the Kill Bills as separate movies, 1 and 2, Kill Bill 1 is number 2, Django is number 3, and Inglourious Basterds is number 1. If you were to count both the Kill Bills as one movie, then Django would be number 2, and Kill Bill would be number 3, because I do like Django a lot. And I mean, of all of his movies, I mean, most of them I enjoy, if not all of them. So that's pretty high praise to be in one of the top spots of his filmography. And the tech really is a big part of why that movie is where it is the editing and the pacing of it for almost a 3-hour movie goes by like nothing. The cinematography, he does a lot of, in that film specifically, he does a lot of those like quick close-ups.
Yeah.
Which is like one of the famous gifs out there is the one of Leonardo DiCaprio where you're like across the room and he turns around and it does like an extreme zoom in and on his face and he gives like the little head nod. I love that scene and I love that gif. But he does a lot of that throughout the movie. But every time he does it, it works. Like, it's not like, oh my god, why is he doing the shot again? It's like, all right, I see what you did there. I like it. So tech definitely goes to Quentin Tarantino, but I think he had a little bit of a leg up on this one.
Django.
Oh, Django. I'm just going to make that the intro to this podcast episode. Yeah. What did you enjoy more?
Oh, it was a clean sweep, wasn't it?
Clean sweep.
Yes, I did enjoy both. Django was, it's probably in one of my favorite movies.
Of all time.
Just because, yeah, just because how good it was done. Mm-hmm. And I'm not into, like, super gory movies, and it pushes it, but it's enough. It's fine. It doesn't cross that line for me.
Yeah, the especially towards the end, it starts to get a little comedic with its violence, yeah. Too, and kind of over the top. But it's the whole movie is kind of over the top, so the violence, yeah. The over the top violence, kind of fits into it. It's not like it stands out.
No, it doesn't take away. I'm glad I watched The Harder They Fall, but I won't.
Yeah,
I probably won't watch it again.
It's a decent movie to watch. It's a brand new movie, so if you're looking for something new to watch, if you like westerns, you'll probably like it. I think it's a pretty mm-hmm. decent western. Would I watch it again? I don't know. I don't know if there's anything in it that stood out that much that I would ever go back to it and say, let's give this one another watch. I think one is good. I would never dissuade anyone from watching it because I think it is worth checking out, but I would never tell you need to watch this right now. Even if you don't like westerns, you'd probably find enjoyment in Django because it's not your typical western. Right. And Tarantino tends to have a broader audience with his movies, but it's still at its core pretty much a western. So
mm-hmm.
if that's not your cup of tea, then still give it a chance.
Speaking of tea,
yeah,
we have next week's
mm-hmm. good segue.
Yeah, look at that. Little Women and Pride and Prejudice.
Whoa, period. That'll pieces be
period. Cass is gonna love it.
Jane, are they both Jane Austen? No, I don't know.
No. Please. What's the other? I can't remember the author's
name. Any book
name.
Lovers, please forgive me for that. I'm not a very good reader. Which ones are we doing, too? Because I know there's a bunch of different versions of those.
The Greta.
Okay.
Little Women, yep. Of course. Mm-hmm. And it was Louisa May Alcott who wrote Little Women.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And the other one is Jane Austen.
Oh,
okay. Pride and Prejudice.
One for two.
Yeah. The one with, I think it's Keira Knightley. I think she's in it.
Okay. I have not seen that one. I have seen the Greta Little Women. But I have not
seen... Yeah, I've not seen Pride and Prejudice either. So that'll be interesting.
Okay. See how they do. This was a fun matchup, though. So good pick on this one.
Why, thank you.
I like your months. I like seeing when you pick your movies, because I never know what to expect. So it's a nice, pleasant surprise.
Neither do I. I just...
You go on Google and say, give me two movies that are like each other.
That's basically what I do.
And Google's like, how about this? And you're like, perfect.
Please remember to replace the speaker on the post when you leave the theater.